The Lord together, isn't it? And it's good to open the Word together. So if you will open your Bibles, please, with me. We've got a lot of territory to cover, and time is pressing on us. We've been looking at the Holy Spirit's ministry as we conclude our series on the Gospel of John. We'll continue this theme of prayer that we're beginning today, but you can count the Gospel of John as completed for our series. As we look at these things, it's important for us to understand that Jesus gave to his disciples some last commandments and some last promises. And as we've been looking at this, we find that the last promise that he gives them is the promise of the Holy Spirit. It's not a vain promise, it's not wishful thinking, but it's the plan, purpose, and design of our Heavenly Father that we should not be alone. Jesus said, "I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." And how does he come to us? By the Holy Spirit. We've gone through a whole series of how the Holy Spirit ministers. Now I want to talk to you about how we minister in the Holy Spirit. How the Holy Spirit who lives in us uses us in ways that glorifies God. I want to talk to you this morning about praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read verses 26 and 27. And while you're looking for that, let me remind you that last week we looked at being in the Spirit, and John the Apostle was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And if you're like me and you look at the Word, you ask the questions, and you say, well, how did he get in the Spirit on the Lord's Day? The day before, he must not have been in the Spirit. Then that day he was in the Spirit. The day after he probably wasn't. So how did he get into that state of being in which he heard the Lord and saw the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ? When we see the phrase praying in the Spirit, we ought to ask the same thing. Well, if I'm not praying in the Spirit, what am I praying in? And if I'm not praying in the Spirit, what am I praying? And how do I get in the Spirit and pray according to the Spirit? Romans 8:26 and 27 help us to understand that. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, and he knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Lord, we give this word to you. It is your word. We did not invent praying in the Spirit, nor did some other denomination invent that aspect of the Christian life. And so, Lord, we want to know. We want to understand. We seek that you would reveal to us this part of our Christian experience. In Jesus' name, amen. What does it mean, pray in the Spirit? Now, if this morning I were to say, let's just have a prayer meeting this morning, what would you do? How would you feel? What would you think? Now be realistic. Probably you would say, oh no. Somebody's going to call on me to pray. Or somebody's going to start praying and they're going to go on for 3 hours. Or there's going to be silence and nobody wants to talk out loud in public, so nobody's going to pray out loud. In our Christian experience, we formulate ideas and opinions based on what we see others do. And many times we draw some conclusions about prayer based on what we have seen in example from others in our church. And perhaps those examples are not good examples of prayer, which I think is usually the case. Do you ever go to a prayer meeting? Not here, but of course somewhere else. Where you walk into that little group of old people And they all sit around in a little cluster and somebody gives a Bible lesson and then they say, let's go to prayer. And you pray as the Lord leads. And so they wait. And after a little while, you hear somebody clear their throat. And they start to pray. And usually there's a prayer list and they go through some list. And somebody else prays and they pray a little more of the list or maybe the same thing. I was in a church where the little old ladies would take the prayer list and read it to God. Literally, they would read it to God. Now, there's nothing wrong with that praying, I hope. If it's sincere and it's done in Jesus' name and it's by faith. But that is not praying in the Spirit. That is praying, but it's not praying in the Spirit. And if I were to take an interview this morning and go around with the microphone and say, I'd like to know about your prayer life. Would you tell me about your prayer life? And I would stick the mic in your face and say, hey, how about you? Would you tell me about your prayer life? What kind of discipline do you have in prayer? How long do you spend with the Lord? What kind of things do you tell God when you pray? Where do you pray? What would you say? I think even more than announcing a prayer meeting, you would shrivel up and die. You'd be a little bit embarrassed and perhaps uncomfortable enough. I would say, okay, now I'm going to ask you the big question. Do you pray in the Spirit? What would you say? I think I know what you'd say. You'd probably say the same thing I'd say. Well, I hope so. Or I think so. Sometimes. What does it mean to pray in the Holy Spirit? Jude speaks of this in Jude. There's only one chapter. So Jude chapter 1 verse 20. Talks about encouraging one another in the word and exhorting one another, and he concludes by saying, and praying in the Holy Spirit, or King James, praying in the Holy Ghost. What is that all about? Now, I hope I have quickened your interest a little bit to know, what is this thing of praying in the Holy Spirit? Because there are a lot of false ideas today about what it is to pray in the Holy Spirit. There are some false views that I think we need to deal with. The first one I've encountered about praying in the Holy Spirit is that some people think praying in the Holy Spirit is waiting for a sign gift. That is, praying in the Holy Spirit is getting a gift of tongues. And it is not. That is not what is praying in the Holy Spirit. We are not told anywhere in Scripture that Jesus ever prayed in tongues. But he prayed according to the will of God and according to the Spirit always. Nor is it receiving a special gift of what we would call glossolalia, or some people would call them angelic languages, unknown languages. It's not just the gift of tongues, but it's a gift of prayer languages. Now, I'm not here to bash anybody's prayer language. If God has gifted you with that, that's fine. I'm not messing with that. I'm not talking about that. But that's not what praying in the Holy Spirit is all about. When Jude says pray in the Holy Spirit, he doesn't mean pray in some unknown language. And when Paul is writing in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 7, when he says the Spirit of God groans within us with words that can't be uttered, he's not talking about angelic languages. It's a misunderstanding of the Word of God. Then we see that there are some people that think that praying in the Holy Spirit is to do weird things. Do weird things. Do you know that today in America and in Canada, there are churches that are promoting being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day with laughter? And I don't mean like next week we have a comedian preacher coming in. But I mean, they believe that to be in the Spirit, you begin to laugh and it's uncontrollable and soon you fall in the aisles, rolling in the aisles, laughing. It's called the laughing blessing, or the mentions a city, the Toronto blessing. That, my friend, is not praying in the Holy Spirit. You do not find it in Scripture, and if you don't find it in Scripture, it's extraneous, it's above, it's beyond, it's not even balanced. And there are others that have gone to the extreme of barking in the Holy Spirit. Now, we could go on and on. We could preach a whole sermon about all the weirdness that goes on in the church today in the name of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not weird. He is wholly other. He is God. He is the Lord Jesus Christ coming and ministering to us. I don't think God barks. There are lots of other weird things that people do. There are some people that talk about getting slain in the Spirit. And I don't find that in Scripture, and maybe it's there, but maybe we've missed it. But the way it's operating today is not being overwhelmed with the presence of God and falling down before Him as John did. There are those today that practice being slain in the Spirit as a practice of the church, of being in the Spirit. If you're in the Spirit, you're going to get slain by the Spirit. That is when the preacher gets all worked up and his hands shake, and he can spread his hand over the congregation. It's like a wind, you fall down. That's not what praying in the Holy Spirit is about. That's not in Scripture either. And finally, there are some people that do some very, very dangerous and foolish things and take foolish risk in the name of the Holy Spirit. They take the passage in Mark chapter 16 and say, if you pick up any serpents, they will not harm you. And so they pick up serpents. It's happening down in West Virginia where churches are doing that as part of their worship in the Spirit, taking up serpents and laughing and dancing and playing around. And there's been some shows on TV that show this actually going on in the Church of Jesus Christ. That's not what it is to pray in the Spirit, thank God. And others will drink poison based on the same passage, thinking that they can drink poison, it won't harm them. That is not what it is to pray in the Holy Spirit. So we need to understand, what it is to pray in the Holy Spirit? It is not all these false views, these cultural phenomenons that we see today. We see this stuff happening, but it's not the Holy Spirit. He gets blamed for it, but that is not what the apostle is talking about. That is not what the apostles and the Lord Jesus referred to when they talked of being filled with the Holy Spirit and praying in the Holy Spirit. There are other things that are identified in praying in the Holy Spirit. There is a biblical view, and I want to share that with you this morning. A biblical view of praying in the Holy Spirit. You see, most of us pray in the natural. That is, we pray in the flesh. And that's part of growing. We start our Christian lives, we don't know how to pray in the Spirit. We don't know anything about that, so we just pray. And that's okay. It's part of growing up. When you were a baby, you didn't get born with the gift of language that you could automatically talk. You had to grow and learn some things. And so we grow in our Christian experience. And one of the ways of growing is coming to God and just praying and asking Him for things and bringing the list before Him. But God never intended that we should stay in a baby state in our Christian life. God wants us to walk deeply with Him in prayer. Praying in the Holy Spirit has some distinct features about it. And Jesus referred to this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 14. It is the Sermon on the Mount, and He teaches His disciples about prayer. In that passage, I'd like you to turn to it. In that passage, He refers to how to pray. Now, Jesus was not teaching us to pray in the flesh or naturally or just with our human minds. He was teaching us how to get into the Spirit, how to pray in the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 6, that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching prayer. My Bible has a title on that paragraph, and it says, The Model Prayer. But it doesn't begin with the Lord's Prayer. It begins before that. The model prayer is this: and when you pray, you shall not be like hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues or on street corners, that they may be seen of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, be not like unto them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. And then He begins the Lord's Prayer. I want to point out five characteristics of praying in the Spirit according to this model prayer of the Lord Jesus. The first one is the model of intimacy. Praying in the Holy Spirit is being intimate with God. Intimacy. Jesus referred to this as the secret place. Psalm 91 says, Blessed is the man who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, for he will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You see, God has a secret place for every one of us. It is a place where we meet alone with God and we are intimate with Him. Now, I need my wife up here for a moment. I scare her half to death when I do this. She has to go through so much. Give her a round of applause. The poor lady. She gets beat up in all of these sermons. Now, I'm going to show you something. Don't do as I... Well, I can be intimate with her because she's my wife. Which means I can hold hands in public and it's okay. And I... I'm telling you she's scared of that. She doesn't know this is happening. She didn't know it was going to happen. I can give her a peck on the cheek. And to me, that's more than a peck on the cheek. That is a relationship. That is something I'm saying to her. And then, there are many times, sitting in church, sitting in another place, sitting in our own family room, and I'll lean over and I'll whisper. And it's none of your business what I said. All right, you can sit down. You see, there is a relationship there where after umpteen years of marriage, how long have we been married? 33 years. There is built up a communication that's both verbal, physical, and sometimes it's just goo-goo eyes because of the relationship. When you are born again, you just start that relationship, and God wants you to build it. So that when you've been a Christian 33 years, you no longer act the way you did the day you were married, but you've matured. Doesn't mean you're distance yourself. It means you're closer than ever before. You're more intimate. You know each other. Praying in the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is getting in a secret place with your Father. That secret place is referred to by Dave Wilkerson as a trysting place or a tryst. It's a place where lovers meet. It's lover's lane. God desires that we would seek a place with Him where we are with God so that we can commune in loving fellowship with Him. And yet so much of our prayers has nothing to do with loving God. I was on the phone recently doing some interviews with men for worship pastor, and I've done interviews with other men, and I consistently ask about their prayer life. And I always know what's going to happen, and I sit there with a smirk on my face because they all squirm. I ask the question, what's your prayer life like? What prayer discipline do you use to stay close to God? And you can hear them fumbling and looking through their Bible. Where's the answer in there? I don't find it. And then eventually they say, well, I don't know if I have one. My friend, if you don't have intimacy with God, where's your relationship? Men, if you don't whisper loving things in the ear of your wife, where's your relationship? And when it comes to God the Father, if we have no worship and adoration and thanksgiving and just abounding in His presence and enjoying His presence, where's the relationship? It is any wonder that prayer meeting is the smallest group in the church of every church, or almost every church. It's because it's not based on relationship, it's based on intellect and understanding theories of prayer and listing things to God. And John R. Rice wrote the book on prayer, and he says prayer is asking. And so everybody thinks prayer is asking. It's giving a list to God. My friend, God already knows the list. He's not interested in your listing things to Him. He's interested in listening to you and hearing your heart and you responding by listening to His heart. What is praying in the Spirit? It is intimacy with God. But it goes beyond just intimacy. Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like the heathen. There's a good rule. Don't be like the secularist. Don't be like everybody else. When you pray, enter into your closet. I looked that up. And I said, what was a closet back then? It was a storage room. It was a room extending part of the house where they kept stuff. Could be garage. could be a shed. But it's a place where people don't travel. Jesus said, when you pray, go into a closet. That is, Jesus said, when you get alone with God, find a place where you can meet Him. Now I'm going to ask you a question I don't want an answer. Do you have that closet? And do you use that closet? Jesus was not being facetious. He was not using hyperbole. He was not being illustrative. He was being literal. When you pray, get into your prayer closet. Most of us don't have a prayer closet. We think that's stupid. What did you say to Jesus? That's stupid? Jesus said that's part of praying in the Spirit, is being in the prayer closet so that you can get alone with God and experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now I jumped a little bit here. That's get alone with God on your list here. But before you get alone with God, you've also got to establish a time. And that's something that Jesus talked about. He said, when you pray. He was talking about a specific time and place. He practiced it before his disciples, that he had a time and a place to pray. Jesus often got up long before it was daylight to pray. Now that doesn't mean all of us have to do it, but he set the pattern so that we knew you have to spend time with God to get in the Spirit. I mentioned that last week, didn't I? You're going off to church, and on the way to the church, the kids are throwing up in the back seat. And they're throwing up because they're eating candy you told them not to eat. Or one kid just put his finger down the other kid's throat. And as a wonderful, sanctified dad, you turn around and say, I'm going to knock your block off. Or maybe you do. And you get parked the car, and I've seen it, my dad did it.
I would never do such a thing.
You just smack him up the one side and out the other, give him a good scolding. You say, now, you're going into church. I expect you to sit straight, sit up, and smile, and act like a man of God.
And then daddy gets out of the car and walks in the church. Like a man of God.
Can we go from a moment of anger into praying in the Spirit? Can we go from a ball game, which is fine to go to, and whistling and cheering and eating popcorn and laughing and telling jokes and then in the Spirit? No. You see, there's a transition time. What's the word? Time. In which we separate ourselves from that which is fleshly, carnal, natural, silly, all the rest. We're not condemning that, but there's a time for everything. And there's a time for prayer. And there needs to be a transition time in which we get in the prayer closet. 16 years ago, I began to cry out to God, Lord, teach me to pray, because I don't know how to pray. I was a pastor. But as I stood before the Word of God, I said, Lord, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray as I ought. One of the reasons I started crying out to God is because I met YWAMers. Youth with a Mission, kids that came to our ministry in Brazil. We invited them to help us out for 2 weeks in distributing Bibles, and they put me to shame. You see, these kids took Jesus literally. And every day they were disciplined to get alone with God. The one tall, lanky kid took the bathroom next to my study, and that was his closet for 2 weeks. Well, I rushed into my study and said, Dear Lord, bless me as I study the Word. Show me what you want me to see. And I started studying. He was in there for an hour on his face before God, and I could hear him singing, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. He had a terrible voice. When I first heard it, I thought, get another closet. But you know, the Lord ordained for him to be there because I felt like I was this high in his presence. He knew how to get alone with God and take the time
to get in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit. When those young people came out of that closet, they had another time of prayer as a group. They were already in the Spirit because they had spent time getting in tune with the Father. And they came together and they began to pray. They didn't pray lists of requests. They didn't do that. They didn't even ask, what are your requests today? Anybody got any toenail problems? Anybody got any aches and pains we can pray for? They didn't do that. They simply said, let's go to the Father. Let's wait on Him and He will show us His heart, what He's burdened for. And so there was silence for a little while, and then somebody began to pray about something that, out of the blue. I began to learn, these guys are way ahead of me in prayer. They're praying according to the Spirit of God, not according to the list that's before them. You see, it's about intimacy, it's about time with God, and it's about being alone with God. We need to learn some things. Praying in the Spirit is not something that can happen automatically. You can't turn it off and turn it on. It's going to take time of transition and preparation and doing what Jesus said to do, to spend time with Him, get alone with Him, and then get away with God. Jesus often did that. Yeah, He had His closet of prayer, but there were times when He needed to get far away from people. Did you ever have that experience? You need to get away from your wife, or your children, or your husband. The Scripture says Jesus went into a desert place. He went into a wilderness to pray. Sometimes it was on a hillside, sometimes it was in a valley, but He went all alone, away with God. He went on a prayer retreat so that He could spend lots of time communing with God, loving God, worshiping God, thanking God, examining His heart, just being God's friend. Have you ever taken a prayer retreat? Have you ever said to your job or your responsibility or those around you, I'm going away, I'm going to talk to the Lord? And then you actually did it. I've been teaching on prayer every year that I've been here, 3 years now. And I've determined that every year we'll do a series on prayer. As I've taught, I began to teach some of you about prayer retreats, and some of you really took that seriously. You began to do it. And I know of at least three that are regularly doing prayer retreats, time in the mountainside, time away with God, and they're coming back. Every one of them have come back rejoicing and saying, wow, this is phenomenal. And now I've practiced it so many years, I look at them and I think, what's phenomenal? It's normal. It should be our normal Christian life. Husbands, you need to give your wife a time away with God. When I was a young married man with children, I preached on prayer and my wife came home in tears. And she said, yeah, you talked about going away on prayer retreats and being alone with God, but I've got two kids to take care of. When are you going to let me go? Guys, we are responsible for our wives. Guys, if you don't like your wife, send her away on a prayer retreat. Maybe she's just tired of you and she needs the Heavenly Father. And some time with Him is like a wonderful bath and an anointing with oil. She'll come back shining. We need that. We need time apart from everything else, alone with God. And finally, we need to unhurry that time. That needs to be time that's set aside, that we don't have any other agenda but to seek His face and to wait on Him. That's what God wants us to do. But most of us run the pace of the world around us. Even though Jesus said, don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. The whole Sermon on the Mount was, you're different than the world. You're going against the stream. You're going up current and they're coming down. You need to go across current. You need to be different than they are because you are the sons of God. You are the children of God. You are heirs of all that God has given you. It requires that we spend huge amounts of time with God. I was thrilled when I heard Melissa Ruber's story. about camp this summer, and they sent her away for 24 hours of go on a prayer retreat out in the wilderness with your Bible. Nothing else. Governing board, I think that ought to be required of every member of this church. Elders, I think it ought to be required of you. It's already required of me because I do it. And I love it. Talked to a young man on the phone the other day, and I was interviewing him and talking to him about his prayer life. As we started the conversation, I asked him what his prayer habits were. And pretty soon he was talking about all the things he does in the church. And I said, I didn't ask you about what you do. I'm asking you about your character. What kind of spiritual disciplines do you have so that you're the man of God to do those things? And after about 15 minutes, he finally said, well, I only pray when I'm in the car. It's about the only time I can get alone. And I said, but Jesus said, get in a closet, not in a car. The closet is because you're doing nothing else but looking at the Father and listening to Him. As we shared that with that young man, I said, you know what you need to do? You don't seem to have any focus for your ministry. You're not even sure about your call. I'm going to ask you before God to go out and spend 3 days with the Lord Jesus. You're a pastor. Go out and fast and pray. Maybe not the whole time, but fast and pray at least a day of that time. And seek His face and love the Lord and get a focus on your life and ministry. Before you ever do any candidating, determine what God has said and what the Spirit of God wants you to do. And he says, well, my pastor won't let me. And I said, then take your vacation time and do it. And I started to share with him what God has built into my life and is building into Pastor Paul's life and several of the others of our elders and leaders of this congregation to go away on a regular basis. Every quarter I take 3.5 days to go away and seek the Lord. I don't seek things for you so much as I seek to know Him. As I was sharing this in my monthly prayer time and what I'm doing in prayer, this guy shouted in the phone. He said, are you for real? He said, can I call your youth pastor and find out if that's true? I said, you go right ahead. And then he said, I have never met any pastor that prays the way Jesus said we ought to pray. Now, I don't say that to brag because I have been the worst prayer in the world. That's why God tugged my heart and said, you're a pastor and you don't know how to pray. How do you expect the congregation to pray? And I'm still praying every day. Lord, teach me to pray because I don't know. Lord, teach me to pray in the Spirit because I still don't know. I may know intellectually how to do that, but I don't spend enough time sometimes to be in the Spirit when I pray. Teach me to pray. As I was spending time with Youth with a Mission and these young people, they taught me some aspects of prayer, which is the next slide. And we're going to skip it. Just let it hit up there. Those are the steps, and we'll publish those later for you. And I'm sure our YWAMers will come back with these as well. Some steps of how to get into the Spirit and how to pray in the Spirit. The next slide tells you there's an opportunity before you. And that is, we are setting aside a time as a church. We have reserved a retreat center on October 18th and 19th. To gather together for independent prayer, where it's not a prayer meeting for groups, it's a prayer meeting for individuals. We'll start it off with a basic orientation. I'll give you a workbook to go in a secret closet and begin praying and working through the workbook and seeking God. And it's 24 hours of this. You'll get to sleep, yeah. You'll get to eat. But it's some baby steps in saying, Lord, I want to pray in the Spirit. I don't want to pray the way I always did. I don't want to pray anymore like a baby. I don't want to pray like the legalist. I don't want to pray just list. I want to pray in the Spirit. I want to know you. And we have opened this up, and it's in your newsletter with all the details. But I trust that you will take God's opportunity for you as a congregation, an opportunity for me to, again, get alone with God and to learn to pray
in the Spirit. Would you bow your heads with me? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and as the worship team comes to prepare, look at your own life. If the Lord should call you home today and you stand before Him, could you stand before Him and say, Lord, I have been walking in Your Spirit and I have been praying in the Holy Spirit? Or is your life just like the world, so crowded, so congested, so busy, so fast that there's no time for the things of the Spirit? Jesus is calling you to come out, to come apart and rest a while. To come apart and establish a time to be alone with Him, a time to adjust your heart, a time to get to know Him in intimacy. This morning begins your response. It's either yes or no. Or, Lord, maybe someday in the future. Father, I pray right now as we examine our hearts and as in the next moments we close with this song, that You would give us a desire to be more than we've been. Lord, I want to be more than I've been. I want to be more than I am. I want to be not only filled with the Spirit, but walking in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. That my life will not be a waste for You. And I pray that for God's people in this congregation, the Spirit of God would descend on their hearts. And the whisper of the Holy Spirit will be heard, calling them into a wilderness relationship in which Jesus Christ is exalted as Lord. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand quietly as we sing this chorus in closing? It's a chorus that's known by most all. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Don't just sing the chorus. Make it your prayer, if it is your prayer, and sing it to the Lord. Head bowed. No one looking at anybody else. This is the time for you and the Lord. Some have responded at the altar, which is a good thing to do. This morning, if God has spoken to your heart, not if the pastor has spoken to your heart, but if God has spoken to your heart about your relationship to Jesus, about your prayer life, about living in the flesh instead of in the Spirit. And you're sick of that. You're saying, Lord, I want to change. Would you just slip up your hand, not to be embarrassed, but so that I can pray for you and with you. We're together in this. We're stumblers and bumblers. Yes, all over the congregation. Just keep them up. Keep them up. You're saying it to God, not to your preacher. Lord, I need you to change my prayer life. I need to learn to pray in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit. Lord, see our hands. See our hearts. Do your work in us and send us even this afternoon, Lord, to a quiet place where we can begin that intimacy with the Lord Jesus. We can learn to pray in the Spirit. Go with us now, Lord, and bring us back this evening for our evening service. And we pray your blessing on all God's people.